May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The war in Ukraine continues, as do many other devastating wars across our world. It's easy for us to become dulled to the relentless news of suffering day after day after day. We don't want to hear it anymore. We don't want to take on board the terrible anguish faced by so many people across the globe. Many people in our world desperately yearn for peace, but not necessarily peace at any price. For the people of the Ukraine and for people in other war-torn areas, there is a demand for peace with justice. Peace is an important theme for us as Christians. Not only the peace, which is absence of war, though such a peace is desperately sought after by many, and we should never take that peace for granted. But the peace of Christ is something more than that. But what is it? Perhaps thinking about the peace of Christ may bring to mind a rather sentimental image of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, the words of today's gospel are certainly not the words of a comforting, meek and mild Jesus. He says, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish that fire were already kindled." We all have a tendency to tame Jesus to fit him in with our own ideas. But Jesus comes to wake us up rather than to send us to sleep. And he comes to set the earth on fire. Most commentators think that the fire that Jesus talks about here is the fire of a cleansing and purifying judgment. He comes to transform our world, to purge away evil and injustice, and remake us in his love and truth. And this will be accomplished through his own suffering and death. Jesus speaks of a baptism with which he is to be baptized and the stress he is under until it is accomplished. Elsewhere, Jesus talks about his death as a baptism he has to undergo. So the cost of this cleansing and purging fire and the new life that comes out of it is his own death. Certainly, Jesus doesn't envisage an easy peace for himself. But perhaps most shockingly in our gospel this morning, Jesus says here, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Well, we might be excused for being a little bit confused at this point. Don't we call Jesus the Prince of Peace? Doesn't he often heal people and then tell them, "Go in peace"? Didn't he promise the gift of peace to his disciples? And in the Eucharist, we say, "The peace, Christ is our peace." And at the end of the service, we have the blessing. We pray that the peace which passes all understanding will be with us. So how can we make sense of that, yet also of Jesus' words in our gospel reading this morning? I'd like us to reflect for a few moments on the peace of Christ, what it is and what it isn't. Firstly, what it isn't. The peace of Christ is not the absence of difficulty, an ease and contentment, a trouble-free life. Think of Jesus. He certainly didn't have that kind of peace himself. Externally, he faced hostility and persecution, denial and betrayal, torture and death. And internally, he wasn't always in a state of calm contentment. In our gospel reading today, he talks of the stress he is under until his baptism, his suffering and death is accomplished. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "I am deeply grieved even unto death. And we're told in anguish, he prayed so earnestly that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. There is no easy peace and contentment here. Jesus knew pressure and suffering, turmoil and questioning. So we can't expect, as his followers, to have an easy peace, a trouble-free life ourselves. And Jesus never promised that to his disciples. Rather, he spoke of the cost of being a disciple. They were to take up their cross and follow him. They were to expect difficulty and persecution. Trusting God and following the way of Jesus has never been easy. So why should it be easy for us? In our reading from the letter to the Hebrews, we heard of the witness of faithful men and women in the Old Testament, many of whom suffered in terrible ways while continuing to trust in God. And we can be encouraged by their faith and faithfulness as they cheer us on to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. If the peace of Christ does not mean a trouble-free life, neither does the peace of Christ always mean easy relationships. Jesus says in today's reading that he has not come to bring peace, but rather division. Now, I don't think it means here that Jesus' intention is to bring division, but rather that division is sometimes the consequence of the gospel message. Jesus' words and actions stirred people up and caused very strong reactions. Some people turned to him and followed him. Others violently turned against him. In his presence, people had to decide the basic orientation of their lives and how to respond to him. Were they for him or against him? And in the same community and even in the same family, people could choose differently. And in these words, which actually remind me very much of the devastating effect of the Brexit vote in the United Kingdom, Jesus says here, father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Following Christ may have difficult consequences. For some people in our world today, this family division is painfully true and even life-threatening. When people convert to Christianity from another religion, they are sometimes cast out of their families and persecuted by their communities. I don't think that anyone has had that experience here, but some of us may have experienced scorn or ridicule or cold, dismissive attitude from family or colleagues because of our faith in Christ. And this too can be painful. These words of Jesus are hard to hear, but they remind us that some things are more important than an easy peace, a complacent live and let live attitude with family, neighbour, or work colleague. Sometimes our faith in Christ will lead us to say or do things that challenge or disturb others in some way. For example, perhaps the Christian conscience in us may refuse to accept the easy but false peace of colluding with dishonest work practices. In other kinds of ways, faithfulness to Christ may set us awkwardly apart from those among whom we live and work. Now, of course, this is not to say we should set out to provoke others. That's very different. Of course not. And Paul says to the Christians at Rome, if it is at all possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. But sometimes following Christ will prompt a hostile reaction from others. So if the peace of Christ is not the promise of easy contentment or a trouble-free relationships, then what is it? Jesus does promise peace to his disciples. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." He seems to draw a distinction between different kinds of peace. His peace and the world's peace. And the peace that he offers is not the peace of escapism or indifference or non-involvement. And it's not a nice feeling. Rather, it is right relationship with God and other people. Think of Jesus again. As I said earlier, he didn't always feel calm and peaceful. He knew turmoil and agony. But he did always live in obedient trust in his Father. He lived in constant relationship with God, his Father. And this was the anchor of his life. In the midst of all kinds of sufferings, he knew the love of the Father and he trusted himself to that love. The kind of peace that Jesus offers to his disciples and to us is the peace that comes from relationship with God, a trusting and giving of ourselves to the Father as we receive his love. And even in the midst of pain and suffering, turmoil and doubt, we can know this peace, and this peace can be an anchor in our lives. Now, of course, this peace involves a facing of ourselves. We can't pretend that God is like an indulgent grandfather, patting us on the back and blind to our selfishness and weaknesses. Living in the peace of trusting God involves facing our failures, confessing them, and receiving his forgiveness. Facing the ugliness in ourselves is not always easy, but there is a deep relief and peace in receiving God's forgiveness and healing. Over the years, I've led a lot of retreats, and I'm leading a quiet afternoon for the Toon congregation this coming week. Such times offer space and silence to think, reflect, and pray. But those who live in religious communities or who run retreats will tell you that real peace does not come from running away from things into a calm environment. Real peace comes from facing yourself and the issues of your life honestly in the light of God's grace. And if any of you have been on a retreat, you'll know that they are not necessarily nice, peaceful, restful times. Rather, they can sometimes be hard work, because in the space and quiet, we may come face to face with some difficult truths about ourselves. It's a good time for some self-examination and soul searching, as Julie spoke about in her sermon last Sunday. Jesus comes to wake us up rather than to send us to sleep. And we may have some attitudes and idols that God's purifying fire needs to burn away, or dragons of anger and ogres of greed that need slaying. However, in God's grace, we often then receive a deep peace arising out of a fresh awareness of God's holiness, his truth, and his love. Christ's peace means peace with God, but also peace with each other. Now, I said earlier that his peace didn't always mean easy relationships, but nevertheless, Jesus did come to make peace between human beings. In a few moments, we will share the peace, and I will say, Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by his cross. We meet in his name, and we share his peace. Christ brings us peace with God and peace with one another through his death on the cross. But neither peace with God nor peace with one another is an easy indifference, a papering over things. Sometimes there may be difficulties in our relationships with one another, And Christian peace is not about pretending these things are fine when they are not, but about real reconciliation and forgiveness, which can sometimes be costly. At the end of our Eucharist, I will pray in the words of the blessing that we will all know the peace that passes all understanding. This peace is not a nice feeling and the promise of an easy life, but the trust in God's presence in the midst of the reality of life, including failure, hardship, and suffering. We all may know people who demonstrate that peace in their lives, people who have suffered difficulty or tragedy, yet they continue to trust in God's love. And we see that peace supremely in Jesus, in his complete trust in his Father. May the Holy Spirit lead us into such peace in our daily lives that we might work for such peace in our world. Amen.